The following message was recorded at the 2012 No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the No Regrets Conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. And now, our featured presentation.
I'd like to just add a little bit of this. This is my daughter, Dawn. And Dawn is 30 years old. And we are we have given this presentation a few times in the past. But it's very different this time for two very good reasons. Number one, it has a different title, Parenting Daughters. The title we've had in the past is The Value of a Father to His Daughter, which is sort of a, like a little subtitle. And the other is, and most importantly, is that Dawn was a bride 6 months ago, and so she has changed her last name to Maloth, and she has married a man whom I love dearly, just like a son. And I would hope that you could say the same for your daughters. And hopefully some of the things that Tony and I will talk about today will help you and guide you in that role. The traditional role of the dad, and by the way, I put my email up here because I originally was going to have a slide projector and all that sort of thing. It doesn't work because there's just too many people, it's too hot and that sort of thing. So this PowerPoint presentation, if you just email me, I will send it to you. So you don't have to take too many notes because you have it available to you. The traditional role of the dad traditionally has been, you're the man of the house, you contribute to the son, and the wife contributes to the raising of the daughter. And this is reinforced in a societal, with the society that we live in and the culture that we live in. And as a result, the decision of our involvement with our daughters is something that is a choice that we make. Not that our daughters make, that we make. So it's a proactive action on our part. And the thing to remember, and the thing that will be pounded home a couple of times today, is that our actions as the earthly father that our daughters have can and will influence our daughters' view of their heavenly father. So we are a microcosm, if you will, early on, of God to our daughters, to our young daughters. And our daughters need more than their presence. So those of you that were here for the communication and marriage recognize you physically being in the home does not make a solid marriage any more than you physically being at the same table or even in the same room with your daughter establishes a relationship with your daughter. Your daughter doesn't really care how successful you are. They really don't care at all. I know it's important for you and your self-worth and the way you view yourself and perhaps your friends and all that sort of thing, but your kids really don't care. So how successful you are does not translate into being a good dad. Giving gifts and being sugar daddy, that really doesn't translate into it. Being the all-male dad without even having any soft side to you is not necessarily going to make you a good father. And being a dad who gives in to every request and little nuance that your daughter asks you about is going to make you a good father either. Let's see what the Bible says about it. In Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, also called the Shema, God tells us, these commandments that I give you today are to be up on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What that means is you don't need to have to physically do those things, but what it means is that we as fathers teach our children everything that they know about a relationship, particularly our daughter, with the opposite sex initially, and we teach them not by what we say, but what they see us do. and in our routine of daily living. Our son told me something a few years ago. He said, you know, Dad, the first 16 years of your life, you're on record, like a video player. You're on record. The rest of your life, you're on play. And so it's these early years that are so, so vital and important to that child, and particularly your daughter. And of course, many of these things play out with in relationship to your son. So if you think about it, you are the most important man in your daughter's life. When you teach her, she learns more. And when she is around you, she tries harder to excel. And when you guide her, she gains tremendous confidence. And that's really what a woman needs, is self-confidence. Your influence, you influence her life because she gives you an authority that she gives no other man. You have the opportunity to shape her and to mold her and to shape her character like no one else, including her mother. Mothers are givens. Mothers are always in the house. Dads are not. So let's look, I'm a scientist as a physician, and let's look at what the data shows. What does the science say about this? In the Journal of the American Medical Association, it says, parent connectedness is the number one factor in preventing girls from engaging in premarital sex and involvement with drugs and or alcohol. 76% of teen girls said their fathers influenced their decisions on whether they should become sexually active. Girls with attending fathers are more assertive. This is from the Journal of the American Medical Association. In another published study, peer-reviewed published study, says a daughter's self-esteem is best predicted by her father's appropriate physical affection. Girls with a father figure feel more protected, have higher self-esteem, and are more likely to attempt college and are much less likely to drop out. So the bottom line of what I'm saying is this. The daughter, your daughter, takes cues from you on everything from drug use to smoking to delinquency to the types of friends she chooses to sex to self-esteem to moodiness and also what she seeks from the opposite sex, what she seeks from boys. Interestingly, the research also shows the other side of the coin, and that is that when our daughter gains those things from us, we gain a tremendous amount from them. And I can honestly say that my relationship with my children, all three of them, has resulted in me viewing myself in a much, much different light. So, with that in mind, our goals today are going to be to explore the ways in which you, as a father, can help your daughter physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Your daughter needs a hero to navigate her through today's culture. You need to provide leadership. She wants a friend, someone who is wise and steady and strong and dependable and really knows the ways of the world when she recognizes that she does not. By using a non-threatening, authoritative manner with her is a way to draw her closer and to gain her respect. Don't be afraid to push back and stand your ground when you know that what you're doing or what you're saying is right. She's going to learn not just from your walk, but also your talk.
I'd like to point out here, my father said that she wants a friend, which is true. She does want a friend. However, I think that evolves as your daughter grows up. When I was young, and even probably until I was in college, I would not have considered my father my friend. I would have considered him my father. So she definitely needs authority and guidance first. Friendship will come later when it's appropriate. So I can definitely now say my father is my friend first and then my father. But that was not always the case.
So you are also her first love. Daughters, it's said, and this is a quote from somebody, daughters identify with their mothers, but dads are a mystery. The love and attention that you give your daughter is her initiation to men. And every relationship she has with a man will be filtered through you and through her relationship with you. So you need to lay out reasonable boundaries with purpose and then reinforce them and enforce them.
Yeah, I would definitely say this is true as well. Now that I'm 30, I've had some experience with guys, and I fortunately now have a wonderful husband. But without even knowing it, when I first started dating in high school, I was looking for qualities that I saw in my father, and especially in how my father treated my mother. So that's very important, is how you treat your wife in front of your children, especially your daughter, is really going to impact basically how she wants to be treated in a relationship that she has, whether it's a dating relationship or a marriage.
So the next question you obviously ask, well, how do I relate? How do I relate to my daughter? Well, you can start with words. Now, guys typically are not wordy people. Guys are fairly quiet. They let their wives do a lot of the talking for them, which is just fine with them because they probably do a lot of talking at work and that sort of thing. So when you're going to relate to your daughter, how to relate to your daughter, and we're going to give you some practical points, is with words, use twice as many words as you ordinarily would, and then repeat them. Tell her that you love her, and regularly. Not necessarily on a daily basis, but it could be a daily basis, but certainly on a very regular basis. Tell her you love her, and do it in a way that is sincere and perhaps even unexpected on her part. But when the Spirit moves you to say something to your daughter like that, say it.
And I'd like to point out here, it means a lot more when your dad tells you that he loves you than it does from your mom. Because your mom is emotional, she's a woman, but dads aren't generally emotional, like my father said. So him saying that he loves me definitely means something different than when my mother tells me that she loves me.
The other thing you want to do is when you do speak to your daughter with words, keep your comments positive and on qualities that she controls. Like 1 Samuel says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at, such as beauty or physical appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so make your comments related to things that she has control over. She doesn't have control over how pretty her hair is or the color of her eyes or even her skin. But she does have control over her character, her heart, and where her heart is. Share some personal experiences with her about things that you, maybe some issues that you dealt with when you were younger or when you were her age. If you have trouble expressing these emotions and words just don't come naturally at all, write her a note. Write her a letter. Write her something that can be put in her lunch. Those will be very special.
Yeah. I still have letters that my dad wrote when I was in high school. They were one of two kinds, whether it was telling him that he loves me, which I really liked, or apologizing from an argument we had the night before. I also liked those.
You didn't say those, though, did you? Okay. As corny as this might sound, it's not. And it really means a lot, obviously, to your daughters. I didn't realize that you had been saving them all this time. Look into that.
They're all okay.
The other thing, the opposite thing, other than words that you're expressing to your daughter, or sentiments that you're expressing to your daughter, the other thing is silence. Listen. Listen to her. Listen when they talk about life. And just like you've heard commented in the communication thing that Brody and Heather did previously, when you listen, give her your attention. Face her eye to eye, shoulder to shoulder, knee to knee. so that she knows that you are focused directly on her and you're listening to what she has to say and you're not looking at the football game or trying to read your email or read the paper. And then when you listen, when you're in this position, this listening position, then really, really listen to what she says. And don't think you're doing it, well, this my wife said this is what I ought to do, so I'm doing it, and so here I am. But you're not really listening. Your daughter can tell when you're not, just like your wife can. It goes in the genes. So be genuine in your interest of her, and you'll be amazed at what you'll hear. Time. Words, silence, and time. You must take the initiative and spend time. I can't remember any of my kids coming up to me and saying, hey, Dad, let's spend 15 minutes just kind of getting close together. You know? No. No. So you have to do it. You have to be proactive in that regard. So you take the initiative and establish that time to be alone with her. And do it without resentment. Do it because you really want to do it. You want to establish that relationship. And so you do it not because somebody else is telling you to do it, but other than perhaps the Lord is touching your heart and saying, you know, this is really something I want you to do. Then do it, and do it with the right attitude. And do it on a regular basis. I challenge every man in this room the simple thing. Take 10 minutes a day for the next month to just connect with your daughter. Just 10 minutes a day for a month. See what that does. See what that does to your relationship with her, and more importantly, to her relationship with you. The other thing you need to do is respect her privacy. You want to share what you expect from her, and they will follow through on this more than you might think. You want to share your wisdom, your hopes, your expectations of her.
Time was something that, or spending time with me was something my dad felt very strongly about. And it's kind of evolved over our relationship. When I was younger, he would take turns taking myself or my brothers to McDonald's before school one morning and then drop us off at school so we could have breakfast together. At that point, I was more interested in the food than spending time with my dad.
And sometimes we're just there, but she's not talking and I'm not talking,
yeah.
But I'm not looking at my email either.
Yeah. It's kind of grown into coffee dates or dinners. You know, over when I was home over college, we would always make time to go out and have coffee just so we could spend some time face-to-face rather than on the phone, which is what typically it was when I was in college out of state. So, and we still do it today. It's not as frequent, but it does still happen, and it's something that I think both of us very highly value.
Well, we do, and in fact, Donnie's become actually more proactive, and she'll call me or email me and say, you know what, we haven't gotten together for coffee, you know, for a while. Let's make a date. The other thing, are you going to talk about the rolling eyes?
Oh, the rolling eyes, yeah. I'm sure you guys have never seen your daughters roll their eyes before, right? If they're younger, you probably haven't, but don't worry, it's going to happen. I never did. I still don't.
Roll your eyes on
that. I'm pretty good at it. So that's something that's going to happen, if it hasn't already, but even if she's rolling her eyes, she's still listening to what you say. So try not to pay attention to the eyes. Her ears are still open, and she is listening. So she just might not like what she hears.
That is very right. And don't let her rolling her eyes think that she's not listening to you, and so you have to repeat it again or raise your voice and say, you turn around here and listen to what I'm saying. They're hearing it. They're really hearing it. One of the things that is most important for your daughters to do is, for you to do with your daughters, is to lay out reasonable boundaries. Reasonable boundaries that have purpose, and boundaries that are not arbitrary, but boundaries of what you expect from them and why you expect it from them. And that can be shared with a personal experience that you have or one that you know that perhaps somebody else has. And just because you want your kids, your daughters, to make good decisions, boys as well, just because you want them to make good decisions doesn't mean that they're going to make good decisions. So don't assume that they will, even if you have told them, don't do X, Y, or Z. One of the last parts, and this I'm putting on my doctor hat here, one of the last parts of the brain to develop and mature is called the prefrontal cortex. That's this right up here. This is where your personality is. This is where where you plan things, where you set purposes, where you are able to think through, if I do this, this will be the long-term consequences, this will be the short-term consequences. This is the prefrontal cortex. It develops in the late teens and 20s. So even though your kids, legally, they can vote, over 21, they can do other things, they can drive cars, they look, act, and for all practical purposes are adult, they are still, their judgment is not fully developed. I'm afraid to say that probably a lot of people, it never does develop. Okay? Or it develops in an inappropriate way. But you, your daughter needs you. She needs you and your input while that prefrontal cortex is developing. Without these boundaries that you have, that you establish, they're going to wonder if anyone cares. So that means you need to establish a curfew and why a curfew is appropriate. You need to tell them what you think of social habits that are inappropriate or illegal, be it drugs, smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol. You need to tell them what you think about swearing and using Lord's name in vain, or using any kind of that sort of thing. Sexual innuendo. All of those things, when they see you, unless they hear from your lips that you don't want them to do that, don't assume that they're going to not do it. And there are some important don'ts that you want to really keep in mind. And if you don't email me for a copy of this, of this talk, you know, this is worth its gold. Don't comment frequently on how she looks. Don't comment on her own need to diet. Don't make derogatory comments about her body. Don't comment frequently about her clothes. What matters is not what she wears. What matters is what's in her heart. And obviously her clothes, if it's a point of inappropriate propriety, you know, obviously you want to identify that too. If this is something that's too revealing or a skirt too short or whatever, then I think that can be commented on. And maybe you ought to counsel with your wife about how to approach your daughter with that information, speaking about clothing or something inappropriate. And of course, all of this goes along with you and your wife are on the same page as you're sharing these things with your daughter. We don't want your daughter getting, you don't want your daughter getting different messages from your wife. Don't focus constantly on the importance of exercise. A little indirect message there. And don't make her think she needs to do things to get your attention. Be careful about what themes you repeat to her, because she'll follow them. The other thing, another thing that's very important for us to do, and this is a very difficult thing for dads to embrace and to even appreciate, and it is teach her humility. Humility in not a self-effacing kind of a humility, which is a false humility, but humility which is in fact Christ-like. Genuine humility is the starting point of every other virtue. And humility means having a proper perspective on ourselves and teaching your daughter to look outward rather than inward. And this allows her to live a caring and loving life. If you think about it, this is a profound statement. I don't say much it's profound, but I think this is it. Humility is the foundation of all healthy relationships. humility is the foundation of all healthy relationships. And why is that? Because in true humility, you are sincerely interested in that other person. You are not interested in telling them about you. And you're not talking about yourself. So, your daughter has gifts which she should be grateful for and not proud. And you can talk about those things and about how God has given you an intellect, or he has endowed you with whatever it may be, and how you can, that's a focus of a conversation, potential conversation. And the last thing, Donnie mentioned it previously, but when you have made an error, apologize. Apologize. And when I say apologize, there's a right way to apologize and a wrong way. Say, no, I'm really sorry I said that, and walk away. That is not an apology. You may have mouthed the word, but that was the wrong attitude. When you apologize, you identify what was wrong, what you did, why you're not going to do it again, and what you're going to do to make it better, to make sure that you're accountable to her for that, so that doesn't happen again. Don't try to impress your family with your accomplishments. As I said before, they don't really care, and they really don't count, because it means nothing to them and the world in which they function with you.
Well, I kind of spoke earlier about apologizing. Mm-hmm. It didn't always happen in letters, but he always would apologize if it was appropriate. Apologizing is hard, whether you're a man or a woman. I struggle with it as well. But hearing it from your father when you're at an impressionable age, I mean, it makes a world of difference for you to be able to do it yourself when you become an adult.
And, parents, mom and dad, are the most important influence on their teenage daughter's decision related to sex. She needs to have clearly identified moral codes regarding sex. She needs to know the moral code that you have for her, which she will be expected to follow, which you really expect her to follow. And you may feel uncomfortable. I mean, as guys, we're sitting here and we're thinking, well, you know, I think about what I did when I was a teenager or before I was married, and the sexual relationships that I had, and how can I tell my daughter that? Well, that's a whole new world. That does not make you ineffective in telling your child the expectations that you have about her related to sex. So, Paul, the only question you need to answer is for her is when it is appropriate to have sex and why. When it is appropriate to have sex and why. And of course, there's really only one place for that.
I think now is a good time to point out what I personally think is the most important thing about what we're speaking about today is telling your daughter what you expect of her. That means more to her than you will ever know. And that was something that my parents, both my mother and my father, were very good at, is telling me what they expected of me. And they held me to a very high standard, and I myself, hold myself to a high standard because of that. So keep that in mind. Over and over, telling her what you expect of her is very important.
Yeah, and for instance, when the kids were younger and they're just entering their teen years, we bought these chastity ring for each of them. We had a little ceremony and gave them the ring. Well, they never wore the rings.
I didn't even wear my ring.
Do you? Yeah.
No, I never did.
No, you never did.
It was
the boy certainly
ring
did.
And I never wore it.
Yeah.
I still have it.
But it still made, well, you still have it, and it still made an impression. It sent a message. Whether they wore the ring or not really didn't make any difference. But they understood that Sherry and I had expectations of them, and not just an expectation on an arbitrary basis, but on for a real reason. For a reason, because they want to present to their mate, their person that they marry, their spouse, the most precious gift that they can on the night of their wedding. And you can only give it once. Women are drawn to what you need to be the man that you want your daughter to marry. Women are drawn to what they have come to know. And a healthy marriage is going to be based on respect, and you should model that integrity with your spouse as well as with your children. And she is going to expect that in her spouse as well. Does that mean that Sherry and I have not had disagreements or anything? Not at all. Not at all. But we both try to honor what God has, the position and roles that God has placed us in the family situation. So that means that you must be a man of character who inspires trust and respect. You need to be open and honest and transparent with your family. There cannot be any secrets. Secrets related to pornography, to lies, to alcohol abuse, to infidelity. You do not want to put yourself in a situation where you are going to have such a guilty conscience that you're going to have to share that with the people in your family. Bottom line is, resist temptation. Resist temptation.
Being the man that you want your daughter to marry is something that I thought was kind of silly. My dad actually told me when we were arguing, I think I was probably about 10 or 11, we're driving in the car, we're arguing about something and I don't even remember it. He said, "You know, Donnie, someday you're going to marry someone just like me." And I thought he was. But that's ridiculous. That's never going to happen. I would never marry someone like you. Yeah. You know, of course, you say mean things to your dad.
Sure.
Well, I can. I can honestly
coming from
say.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I married someone just like my dad. Honestly, you know, their personalities, granted, are very different. But their character is the same. Mm-hmm. You know, they always wanted to provide. They are caring. They will do anything for me. These were the qualities I saw in how my dad treated my mom, how he respected her, and my husband is exactly like that. And that's right.
And actually, I can piggyback on that with a comment that I made when I was introducing Mrs. Maloff here, my daughter, and I said she has married a man who I consider a son and who I love as a son and who I would do anything for as a son. And I think part of the reason for that is because Don has found somebody that's very much similar to us, and so it's just very easy for him to fit into the family in that regard. Another thing that is important for us to have an appreciation of and to be the man you want her to marry is to think in terms of our goals from a professional standpoint, from a monetary standpoint, from a life goal standpoint. This is in the working world, and if we're constantly pursuing more, we're never really going to be happy. It only leads to dissatisfaction with what we have. And Paul said in Philippians, "I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstance." And he goes on in those same verses to talk about, "I have learned to be content when life is blessing me, as well as content and satisfied and fulfilled when things are not going my way." There's a cowboy-type philosopher named Will Rogers. A few years ago, probably not many people in the room have ever heard of him, but regardless, he said, "Too many people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like." And so based on your input, again, this unspoken input that you have with your daughter and what your daughter sees you really, really value, your daughter is going to expect that pursuit of more is necessary for her to have a better life. And so, again, these are these unspoken ways in which you can significantly influence your child. You want to show her that relationships are the most important avenue for deep joy. and contentment. And it is. What kind of a relationship do you have with a screen? Be it an iPad, an iPod, a high-def TV, you don't have much of a relationship with that. But you do have a relationship with someone who you can touch and feel and be close to. And that is really where your contentment should lie. The most important thing that we need to teach her is who God is. I talked about that a little bit before, but there are excellent scientific studies that show that a belief in God and religious participation, and when I'm talking about religious participation, I'm talking about something that you can objectively measure. Go to church weekly. Go to church weekly. That sends a great message. Even if you go to church and sleep through it, go to church regularly. Now, you're not going to do that, I'm sure. But the point is that you're sending a message that is important, that going to church is important to the family. And you are going to be you are expected to be the spiritual leader in your home. And the resources and tools that Tony Evans has given this morning and this afternoon, and the courses that you're in, are going to give you those. So, but as dads, we can help our daughters fill that inherent spiritual void that each of us has, which is God-shaped. And if we try to put stuff and things and relationships and money and whatever into that void that we have, it doesn't fit until God hears it, or God fills it. But your daughter is anxious to hear about God from you. And you're not going to be able to tell her about God unless you have that humility-driven relationship with God.
So like my dad said, being the spiritual leader of the family is very important, both for sons as well as daughters. My dad, I think, showed this in several ways, not just going to church on a weekly basis, which we did. Prayer before meals, very important. We still do that as a family today, and I do that with my husband. Also, he has led a Bible study every Wednesday morning for the last 19 years at our house, or at their house. And he does daily devotions every morning. So when I would come downstairs in high school, he would always be in front of his Bible. So just, again, that indirect way that you influence her is very important, especially in something like this.
And as you know, your daughter needs God, and she wants you to be the one to show her who he is and what he's like and what he thinks about her. What a wonderful privilege it would be to lead your daughter to Christ.
Amen.
And what a responsibility it would be, and the accountability that you would have for you to lead your daughter to Christ. You're going to make mistakes. Hey, man, I've made the biggest ones. But you're going to fall and you're going to be human. But you acknowledge that, your kids recognize that, they know that you're imperfect, but they also know that you're their dad, and you're the only dad that they have. And so, therefore, you both need a father, God, who they know will forgive them as well as you, just as you will forgive your daughter, and she'll give you opportunity to do that as well. So when a daughter has a good relationship with her dad, she bonds with God easily and naturally. You should teach her to be assertive. Help your daughter find the balance between feelings and reason, and not by word, again, but by behavior. Help her to clarify her thinking and know that when she's called upon, that you are going to defend her, that you are someone who she can go to, who will not be judgmental, who will not be arbitrary, but who will be loving and caring and yet strong and wise. Kids don't really want more freedom to choose their own way. And kids are not little adults. Kids are kids. And I demonstrated that actually with that prefrontal cortex thing. You want to teach your daughter to be assertive. And again, to clarify the moral code and compass that you would like her to follow. And you do that without apology. You do that without apology. Be very clear about what you say and what you expect. Give her ground rules for living. And daughters are going to respect fathers who stand for something. And they're going to look for leadership from you. And don't expect all your advice to be followed. Do not normalize bizarre behavior or aberrant behavior, such as yelling at you or yelling, talking back to their parents or her mother. Rudeness, abuse, dishonesty, and talk about sex and alcohol and drugs. You do need to mention those things. You don't have to harp on them. You don't have to say it once a month, but you do need to know that you are concerned related to their decisions how those decisions are going to be made.
One point I'd like to make here is my father mentioned this a couple minutes ago, but you're human and you make mistakes, and that's okay. Sharing that with your daughter is good at the right age. It makes you more human in her eyes. When she's younger, you know, 10 and under, she sees you as her hero, which she should. But as she becomes a teenager and starts to develop, sharing mistakes that you've made, like my dad used to smoke. He shared that with us, my brothers and I, when we were getting to the age where that would be a temptation for us. And sharing that didn't make us want to go out and smoke. And none of us smoke today, so.
No, you never have.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember one of the reasons that Sherry and I quit smoking within about a week of each other, and one of the reasons, there were a couple of them, but one of them was we did not want our children to smoke. And so we just quit smoking. And you know what? Anybody can quit smoking. It's a process of mind over matter, and all you need is the right motivation. The right motivation. Sometimes it's a stroke. Sometimes it's lung cancer. Sometimes it is a bad cold. And sometimes it's just something as simple as you don't want your kids to smoke. Not to mention that it burns, it smells awful and all sorts of things. So, and actually that's a little talk that I give my patients anyway. Parent connectedness is really important. And so mothers and fathers staying together and spending time with their kids is really, really important. And here I'm going to be very specific. Divorce injures and damages children much more than you or your wife will ever be damaged by a divorce. There's a book that is written called The Long-Term Consequences of Divorce. And this author studied for 25 years. She followed what happened when a couple got divorced. And she followed 100 families for 25 years. And whenever the mother and father were divorced, there was negative consequences on the kids, even after the kids left home and the kids got married. So it is divorce is a killer as far as the kids are concerned. Much of what we communicate comes from our actions and less from what we say. And we live in a country filled with people starving for relationships. And boy, they look for those relationships in every way imaginable and some beyond. But electronics and text messages and all those sorts of things, those are not enough. So the other thing is surviving stressful times together creates a very powerful bond. As some of you might know, about 5.5 years ago, on April 26, 2006, our third child, Brad, was killed in a wreck that occurred as a result of a truck driver losing control of his car, and he died along with four other people down in Indiana about 3 weeks before he used to graduate and matriculate to University of Madison Law School. That damaged our family forever, but it did not break us. And in fact, it brought us together. And so those stressful times even stressful times such as that, or loss of a job, or loss of a relationship, or a problem with a relationship, those stressful times between perhaps even you and your wife can translate into positive things as far as changing the relationship that you have in a positive way. The next thing is friends, clothes, and music. Selecting friends. You need to get to know your kids' friends rather than dictate to them who they think, who you think their friends should be. Make your home friendly. And this also sends a Christian message and your daughter, and an opportunity for your daughter to share this message with, in a more familiar setting, with some of her friends. As far as clothes and music, she's going to listen to your music more often than you might think, and she might even like it.
That's true. I didn't roll my eyes. I did.
Okay.
No. I did. No, actually, I was raised on Broadway music, oldies, praise music, and those are some of my favorite genres today. So she does listen to your music, especially when she's younger, but even today we still share music that we like.
Yeah, actually, there's a great song written that's sung by a guy named John Mayer called Daughter.
Mayer.
Yeah, there we go. I don't even know. I know the song. I know the song, and I can recognize it. It's on my iPad. And the reason I listened to it is because Dawn said, hey, this is a song I really like. I'd like you to listen to it. In fact, now that I think about it, all of our children have come to me with some of their songs that they like by artists that I've never heard of. And so I've tried to keep an open mind. Some of it, a little tough, but much of it is worth that. And so,
A couple last-minute things that we want to bring up just before our time is over. Money management. Very important, especially as your daughter gets into her teenage years, gets her first credit card, et cetera, et cetera. Paying off your credit card monthly, very important. I still do it. Balancing your checkbook. I did not learn this from my father. I learned it from my mother. But she does it every month. Tithing, very important. When we were young, we got an allowance. 10% had to go to God. 10% had to go to savings. I still do that today. So money management is very important.
As a matter of fact, just a little sidebar, I mentioned Brad, our son, who died when he was 22, but in the process, obviously, of cleaning his room up and that sort of thing, in the back of his desk, we found a little jar, and Sherry had given each of the kids a tithing jar and a savings jar and that they would put their money in, and we found a jar that contained $687 in cash that Brad had been putting away all those years with the little jobs that he had and everything. So it's those expectations that you lay out for your kids, they do follow through with that. Dating and curfew. Group activities, I think most kids, a lot of kids do group activities a lot more than we did when I was your age. We give them a reasonable time to be home. They can have input on that, have a discussion related to that, but remember, you are the final arbiter in that. And another thing that we didn't do, but I've heard, and it makes sense, say, I want you home by midnight. And then you put an alarm clock right by your bedside, and then you and your spouse go to bed, and if that alarm goes off, they're not home. So when they come home, the first thing they do is go turn that alarm off. That's one way you can do that. And again, smoking, monkey see, monkey do. Our kids went to Taylor University, all three of them. And at that school, they do not allow smoking or drinking. And I think it produces a more mature graduate with a decidedly spiritual focus. I mean, it was really neat. So bottom line, summary slide. You know, she needs a hero to navigate her. You are her first love. Teach her humility. Protect her, defend her, be the man you want her to marry, teach her who God is, teach her to be assertive, and keep her connected with you. Again, for as far as the PowerPoint of this, I'll be happy to email it to you if you just send it to me. Thank you very much for your time.
that's not a problem.
Oh, that's not a problem.
I knew you guys were doing something. Oh,
sorry.
When I saw you guys, how are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you.
Really good.
Very good.
She's out of the
Really good.
MCW. That's about it. You remember a few years ago when they had the mistaken identity where they buried the wrong girl and everything? That was those kids that died.
They wrote a book about that, right?
Yeah, my called Mistaken Identity.
Yep, they were,
hey, how are you, Joe?
Actually,
good to see you. I didn't know you were
really
coming.
Really did die.
Really?
Oh, good.
They didn't know she was dead. All the questions that everybody was asking is, what did you do?
This room was packed.
She was
The
doors were open all day. Yeah.
Of course. She was sitting next to Brad in the seat. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Let's take a ring.